just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we turn to the scriptures tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach this point of the service and getting ready to read your word, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will, Lord, bring to life, dear God, the words that we read. Lord, may it be, Lord, strengthening to the people, Lord. And Lord, we ask, Lord, for grace, Lord, tonight, and ask, God, that you'll speak to us, Lord. We give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now if you could turn with me to Job chapter 19. Verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You may be seated. Brother Branham said, we must have a vision. And he said, visions come to prophets, but said, without a vision, we perish. He says in why I'm praying for the sick, and what I want to speak on tonight is catch the vision. He says, all down through the Old Testament, no man ever at any time walked out boldly without a vision and done anything, because it always was God. Jesus said, the Father shows me. I see a vision on what to do, and what he shows me, that I go do. See, I can do nothing of myself. He says again, and when their eyes were open, he says, and may each one catch the vision of your finished work, your everlasting eternal life, which you are possessor of, and give to us as we believe. Catch the vision of your finished work. That is really something there. Because what we see is what we are right now. And we hear preached what the body change is going to be and so forth and so on. But have we actually caught a vision of it? Has it become a reality to us? We can say we believe it. Say, well, we don't know how it's going to be exactly, but you don't have to understand the mechanics of it. All you got to have is the dynamics. The mechanics will work. They'll go to work. So we don't have to know the mechanics of how that's going to happen, but catch a vision that it is going to happen. We're a finished work. See, the devil always wants to point us to this, which is an unfinished work. And that's the part of us that even we ourselves get down on ourselves because of our stumblings around and the mistakes that we make. And we can actually get really down on ourselves and feeling, not feeling very saintly. And that's exactly where the devil would like to get us to. But if we can see that God is working on us, and there is a perfecting coming.
Yes.
there is going to be a finished work. That God's not going to leave it undone. He's not going to leave none of us behind. Amen. We're not going to miss the rapture. Amen. We'll be rapture ready when the rapture comes. And not get, you know, we say, well, why ain't the rapture comes? Well, God's people's not ready. Well, don't get long in the jaw about it. They're going to be ready. They're going to be ready because there is going to be a rapture. And what we need to do is say, not only is there going to be ready, but I know I'm going to be in it. Now, Abraham, let's turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 15. While you're turning there, let me just read this to you. Brother Abraham said, God so loved you that when his love was projected, sovereign grace taking its place and sent a Savior to redeem you back to himself. And in this Savior, he was wounded for our transgressions because God loved you. God saw the afflictions of his people, and with his stripes you were healed. God's grace making a way for his love required it. And when his love projected his filling, Christ stepped out to take his place. It required something to take the place. His love went alone went for you, and grace provided a sacrifice for you. Now you're only asked to believe it. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Trusting that you catch the vision, love is one of the greatest instruments there is in God's great economy. God is love. The Bible said he's love. And when you become one of his children, you become part of that love. You become part of God's economy. You become a subject of his domain. And when you do that, you become a son and daughter of God. And he said he would give you everlasting life. We have to. There's no way around us getting ready for the rapture. Because we're part of it. What would the rapture be without people being caught up? Wouldn't be no rapture. That's what the rapture's all about, is you and I being caught up. Without us, there is no rapture. You're part of it. Now, if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 15, I want to read something here. And this is when Abram gets his vision from the Lord. Verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Let's go down to verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these things and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds he divided not. And look at verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Verse 16. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Now, the vision that Abraham got here was the same vision that Job had got that we read about there in the book of Job, chapter 19. Abraham got a vision of the resurrection. Job got a vision of the resurrection, and Job, the way he is, that he says it, lets you know he was part of that resurrection. It wasn't that he was going to be standing on the sidelines just witnessing the resurrection, But he was going to be part of that resurrection. He was going to be resurrected as well. He said, whom I shall see for myself. And he said, yet in, though the skin worms devour this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So Job was putting himself, he saw himself in the resurrection. He didn't just see a vision of the resurrection, but he saw himself part of the resurrection. Job got a revelation there would be a body that he would receive. That's why he said, in my flesh, yes, shall I see God. And but he talked about this body being devoured by worms. But there's a resurrection. He caught a vision of the body he would receive. And that he would, and he knew there was coming a just one. He said, my Redeemer liveth. He knew there was coming this just one. Jesus didn't come for another like 4,000 years, I believe, was after Job's death. But Job saw there was this one that was coming. And he called him his Redeemer. Because Job knew the condition that he was in as a man. Job knew the truth. Job wasn't wondering, I wonder what happened in the garden. Job knew what happened in the garden. Job knew the truth. He knew that man was in a fallen condition. Job knew that we were just a handful of dust. Job knew that our time on earth was just a short bit of time. But what Job got the vision of was that there was a life beyond that. There was a life beyond death. That then there was a resurrection coming, and we would be here, Job said, in the latter days upon the earth he shall stand. So Job knew it was going to be here, right here. That it was going to come manifest. Abraham, as we read, Abraham caught that same revelation. Now, Abraham went and he purchased this field, which in the field there was a cave. And Abraham purchased it for a burying place. And when Sarah died, he buried Sarah there in that cave. The thing is, that was the resting place of Job. So Abraham, when he caught this vision of a resurrection coming, a just one coming, and a resurrection thereof, then he buried Sarah and had himself buried right where Job was, because in catching the vision, he realized that was what Job meant. That's the vision Job had caught. And so he wanted to be part in that vision. Then we go on down through time. Isaac was buried in the same place. And then there's Jacob, Joseph, and his brothers down in Egypt. And Jacob had Joseph to come to him and said, to stick your hand on the place where the angel touched me. And said, I want you to swear to me that you're going to take me back and bury me there where Abraham bought that land. And Joseph swore to his father, and that's where Jacob was took back and buried. Then Joseph, knowing there was coming a day that they were going to go march out of Egypt, it didn't matter how good it might have looked during the life of Joseph. And it did look good during his life there in Egypt. Because the Bible says that it was after his death that there arose a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. He had no recollection of Joseph. He never knew the man. But while Joseph lived, seemed like it was right in our place, but Joseph caught a revelation that it wasn't going to stay that way and that they were going to be brought out of there.
And so Joseph said, when you leave here, take my bones with you. And when Moses, another prophet, comes on the scene, and God gives him a vision of the people leaving, of delivering the people, them marching out of Egypt. And you realize that when Moses come down there after him meeting God in the burning bush, and Moses, he had this revelation of it, but the people didn't. And the people weren't going to follow Moses until they did get a revelation of it. And Moses, Pharaoh didn't have a revelation of it either. But after some convincing of plagues coming upon them, then Pharaoh began to understand, I don't want these people here no more. The bricks ain't worth it. It ain't worth the trouble they're causing me. But the people had to, and you realize the people, I say that they caught a revelation of leaving, but there was many of that generation, they never caught the revelation of coming into the land that God had sworn by that it would be Abraham's land, that would be the land of his seed. And somehow they never caught the vision of that. That's why they was always complaining at every turn. Every time something came up, a trial, instead of facing that trial and knowing that Jehovah God was with them to see them through, instead they got to whining about it. Ain't none of us likes going through trials. No, sir. But you know what? We can face each one knowing there's not a trial that comes our way what God doesn't allow it to come. And if God allows it to come, he's going to see us through it. He doesn't allow anything to happen to us except something that's going to be for our good. I know many times we look at it face on and say, well, I don't know how this is going to be any good. But God has a way that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. He'll take the gloomy times that you look at and say, how in the world could this do me any good? And God will bring good out of it. I like Brother Branham talking about that painting he saw one time. It looked like a great storm cloud. And he said, when you got up a little closer to it and began to look, it wasn't a storm cloud at all. It was angels and their wings beating. And so it wasn't a storm cloud at all. And he said, look, sometimes you might look like a storm coming, but it's actually a blessing of God that's coming. God knows how to bless his people. And I'll tell you what, God likes being your hero. He likes being your hero. He's the only one that can. In My Redeemer Liveth, Brother Branham said, Job, when he seen this, and then Abraham saw it, he buried Sarah near Job, purchased a field, bought it with his money so that it would be assured, put witness before it that he was assured he bought this field for a burying place. And when Abraham himself, when he died, he buried them also in the same field. Abraham begot Isaac. When Isaac died, he was buried with Abraham under the same vision, the same thought, the same deep calling to the deep. And the same I know my Redeemer liveth. The same thing, the same evidence. See? He said every one of them, they were buried under the same vision. They were buried under the same thing, the same evidence, the same deep calling to the deep. And then Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob died down in Egypt, away from this land. When he was getting ready to die, with inspiration before the resurrection to give him a measure before the resurrection. He said, I know something's going to happen up yonder in the promised land one of these days. So upon this place, inspiration, I swear to me by God of heaven, you'll not bury me down here. Swear that you won't bury me here. For he knowed it was essential that he was gathered with them people. Again, in the message, My Redeemer Liveth, Brother Branham says, did you ever stop and think this morning as far as returning, that is, to become visible? He's already here with us. What he's talking about now is Christ. He's already here with us now, the Lord Jesus, in another world, in another dimension, right here today in the form of the Spirit. His Spirit is blending in with our spirit. Our eyes can't see him because that they're physical yet. Unless there would something happen that we could see a vision. His presence is here. It can be felt with that inner charge that's on the inside of the human body called the new birth. The soul has been magnetized unto him. And once in a while, when you let your mind be concentrated on him, believing on him, and after a while, something, a reality, you can feel something sweep over your being. He said, that's the vindication of his resurrection. It's not a guess so, it's not I hope so, but it's every person that's born again, it's a know so. You know it, it's right there, and when you become in contact with him, say, oh, can you, the presence of the Lord is near. Why, certainly, he's right here. He rose from the dead, and he's standing right by you. So Brother Branham's talking here, and he says, have you ever thought about the day when he would appear and be visible before us? He said, but he's here with us right now. He's here with us right now. But I like that where he says, once in a while, when you let your mind concentrate on him, believing on him, after a while, something, a reality, you can feel something sweep over you. How many has ever felt that? Amen. The presence of God just sweep over you like that. Oh, I tell you, I long for that. And he said, that's the vindication of his resurrection. When you and the revelation are becoming one. He said, this is not just reading out of a book. This is the book being made manifest. This is the word. The seed begin to grow. That's how I know if you're just reading the letter, you'll say, I hope so, I believe so. But when the seed is brought to life, then you know so, amen? Oh, it's a no-so. Job said, I know, I hoped, I believed in, I made the sacrifices, I've done all the things, I hope so. But when the vision come, he saw it and he said, I know it. Something happened. He's saying before the vision, Job was saying, well, I hope it's going to be. Sure hope so. But after he saw the vision, he knew. Friends, listen, we need to get beyond the I hope I'm going to make the rapture. I hope I'm going to be part of it. We need to know so. And if we're at a point where we don't know so, we need to get to the point where we do know so. You say, how do we get there? We need to get before God and catch the vision of you as a finished work. Catch the vision of yourself as a finished work. Brother Ram says, my calling is to get into a gift that came from God for an inspiration for the people. Well, as God has just done to one individual person or something, I'm just for a little bitty part of it. But it was given me in order that it would be demonstrated before the church, that everyone might catch the vision of the supernatural part that God lives and reigns in his church today, and he's here to bless us all. So Brother Branham said these things that happened in his ministry, this gift that God had given him, he said it was to be demonstrated before the church so that the people would catch the vision of the supernatural and know that God was there to bless them. He says, and come follow me. He said, the voice is still alive tonight. And there's still posts and outposts and listening posts and receiving stations of faith that can accept it. We pray that each one of these children would receive that, Lord, in their hearts and remember that, not what they do to be good. God does not judge us by what we do, but by what we have accepted. That's something. God doesn't judge us by what we do, but by what we have accepted. We are saved by our faith, not in our works. So we pray, Heavenly Father, they'll catch the vision now and see and hear the great eternal invitation of come follow me. Identified Christ, identified with Christ. Brother Ram says, a while ago I met in the room with some people out of city from Illinois. There's about three or four ministers. And said, Brother Branham, we have taught contrary to this all our lives. But we catch the vision now and see what really is the truth. Just one more time, Lord. He said, may men and women tonight catch the vision. Understand that God's program, what God's program is for this last day. That's all we need to do is just get into his program. Then the other things will take care of themselves. We realize we're in his program. We are his program. We're part of it. There is, when they write a play, there's parts wrote in the play that's to be spoken. There's other parts that is direction. It gives direction of what, maybe what spot they're to be on or on what action they are to take. And in this writing that God has, it has your name. And it has what you're to act out. It has that road in there. And many times you think, well, I just say things. But look, God, there's times when God will take over and it ain't you that's saying it, but something God wanted said. And he's just using you to say it. Why? Because it's wrote in the script. It's part of it. It's part of God's program. Reading through the script, and at times you come across the part where it says, and now he's going to face a testing time. Oh boy. Friends, look, it ain't nothing new to us. There ain't no sense in getting bent out of shape about it when something comes our way. We need to come to a place to where we know no matter what comes our way, no matter what we're facing, that God's the one in control and he's directing it all. We're in his hands and he's not going to let anything befall us what won't be for our benefit. Water from the rock, Brother Ram says, any time, any place, any part of the Bible where God's message is going, there was signs and wonders following it, always. There was still a ritualistic thing that died when they got without a vision. Pattern it to Judges. During the time of Judges, nothing happened. Just the very cold, formal, ritualistic affair. God wasn't in the camp, but as soon as God came in, then signs and wonders began to take place. Notice, then God opened up the Red Sea and Moses led Israel across the Red Sea. And the ritualistic ones that rejected the light, refused to walk in the light, God being long-suffering, given plenty of time to believe it. He gave them signs and wonders and so forth, and they shut up their faces from it. I don't believe it. I believe it's witchcraft. Get it? They refused to receive it. They being uncircumcised in heart and ears, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word, receiving the word brings new light. The message have called out. Brother Branham says, when the last one is brought in, then the word will no longer be effective. When the last one's brought in, the word will no longer be effective. He said, then it'll be as casting pearls before the swine. How do we know tonight the last one ain't already in? And that all God's speaking to now is just his wife getting her ready to leave. That last one comes in, friends. They got a lot of catching up to do to get ready to go. That's like seeing a raw recruit versus a veteran. So how do we know it ain't all, he or she or whoever ain't already in? And God's just getting them ready. And he's getting us ready. I like how Brother Branham says, the voice, the shout, and the trump said he does all three as he descends. We're in the rapture now. We're part of it. Amen. He says, as we see our nation riding under the tide of judgment, we see across the sea yonder, black arms, yellow and brown, and reaching out and crying for mercy. Our hearts are stirred within us, and may the people who's to look at this picture, may they catch the vision. You saw with that picture of when the pillar of fire was over his head. May, he said, when they see this, they'll catch the vision. We look and we see, as he's saying, the nations of the world, they are getting ready for judgment, friends. They are preparing for, they actually are preparing for the tribulation time. And their actions is what's going to bring them, fill the cup of iniquity. And as they're preparing for that and being prepared for it, we're being prepared to leave out of here. We are not only being prepared to leave out of here, this is the thing I want you to, don't ever forget this. You're not just being prepared to leave out of here in the rapture. You're being prepared to reign in the millennium. Because when you leave here in the rapture, you're finished work. You're fit to reign. You're ready for it. In 3.5 years after the rapture, we come back here to reign. Friends, I'll tell you something. I'm looking forward to every bit of it. There's things I read about the millennium and something I understand up to a point which God allows me to, but I think there's just so much more that will be understood as it comes time to be manifest. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the rapture, but I know we'll be a finished work when the rapture comes. We're God's preparing us now to reign. We don't get prepared once we go in the rapture and get to heaven. You got to be prepared before you leave here. Getting in the spirit. It's a message Brother Adam preached in 61. And he said, the thing to do, brother, is accept God's word and say, it's the truth and I believe it. And I've got an old chunks in here. I'm throwing out right now my unbelief. And I'm settling with God. I'm going to believe. What do you have to do? Get in the spirit. And when you get in the spirit, then you see the vision. But as long as you say, well, bless God, I'm a Methodist. I don't have to put up with such. I'm a Baptist. I'm Assemblies. I'm Oneness. All right, go ahead. You'll never see the vision. But you throw that thing aside and get into the vision. Oh, my. Not just seeing it, he said, but get into it. Realize you're part of it. And see Jesus coming in the church and a perishing here and a get into the vision and dig right down, brother. I'm telling you, something will happen to you then. You'll get in the spirit of revival. He said, let's all get in the spirit then and believe it. Let's bow our heads while we ask him to give us the vision. He said, Heavenly Father, we're in a perishing land. We're in a perishing nation, a perishing world, and preaching to perishing people. And I'm just a man, and these other preachers are just men, but you are an imperishable God. I pray thee tonight, Lord, that this message I've spoken, may my nervous 6 months of going and wound up, I might not have said it just right, Lord, but if I didn't, you let the Holy Spirit just smooth it out and take all the wrinkles out. God, just like you did to Abraham, you know, he had his frustrations and he staggered. But when the divine commentary of his life was written, why it said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. And we are living, and there still remains a servant of God. There still remains people who love God, and there is a God who's interested in them. God, may every old chunk be moved and every old rusty bucket things moved out of the way tonight. And may the waters of life flow freely. May they, everyone, get in the Spirit and we be all filled with the Spirit. I like when he says, there's people who love God and there's a God who's interested in them. God cares about every aspect of our life. There's many times that we don't go to him for everything, but we should. Some things, I don't know why we don't go to the Lord over. We try to handle them ourselves, and then we get it in a big old mess. Hey, I'm in that same boat. You know, I was thinking when that conqueror, Napoleon Bonaparte, when he was going to conquer the world, he had to visualize that. He had to see a vision of that being a complete, that he was going to be victorious. And the men that followed him, they had to see what he saw. They had to believe what he said. Well, if that can happen in the natural, how much more in the spiritual? We realize our great conqueror has already conquered everything. As the song says, the battle is won. The victory's already been won. The battle's over. But we've got little skirmishes here and there we've got to go through. But we're going to be victorious. We can't help but be victorious. Friends, listen. The elect seed of God couldn't miss the rapture for nothing. We're part of it. Don't let Satan ever talk you out of that. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Lord, we thank you for the word tonight, Lord. An encouragement, dear God. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would take, Lord, as Brother Branham said, my rough ways of illustrating things, and may you smooth it out, dear God, and make it all right, Lord. I pray you bless the people, dear God, and as they go, I pray, dear God, knowing, Lord, many of them face work tomorrow and so on, I pray you'll go with them, keep them safe, dear Lord. Lord, keep them safe throughout the weekend. Bring us back here together again for fellowship on Sunday, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's sing that song, Take the Name of Jesus With You. Amen. You're dismissed. Amen.